The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello there and welcome to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast on Tuesday, July the 12th, where we have surprisingly two meetings for you today. Dundalk stages a seven-race all-weather card, usually of course on a Friday night, but we've got it here on a Tuesday afternoon in the middle of July, which is a bit of a surprise. And for jump racing fans, we've got an excellent card tonight at Killarney, bolted on to the back end of four flat races. Of course, their feature race is the 750, the Vaughan Vincent Memorial Handicap Chase, which is a Grade C contest. We'll take a look at the Killarney card later, but first of all, we're going to go to Dundalk.
Race one.
We begin with a mile claimer at 2.10. Not a particularly strong race. Quite a few horses coming here off the back of disappointing runs. They are a bit of a motley crew, to be fair. Salento, the favourite. Well, I mean, if you go back to his old form, when he used to be with John Gosden, rated in the 80s, he'd be an absolute penalty kick here. But his aggregate losing distances over jumps recently have accumulated to 436 lengths in his last three starts. So it's a bit of a leap of faith to back in here at a very, very short price. You've got several floaters such as Pacific Graffiti, Emperor Bob, and of course the two John Elevens trained horses, Touch of Frost and Shukov, that are waiting in the midst. And of those, I'd be quite interested in Shukov here, despite him being badly off at the weights. You can forget his last run here over a mile and a quarter when he bolted on the way to the start. But prior to that, he'd showed a good bit of tactical speed to beat the very much informed Elusive in Paris, who's gone on to win several times subsequently on the turf, has been a bit of a revelation. So although, like I say, the weights and measures boys will have you say that Shukov can't possibly win, I think odds are around about 14-1 this morning. He deserves a little bit more of an interest than perhaps the market suggests. So he's the each way choice there.
Race two.
Moving on to the second race, which is the 2.40. Only a few horses here that could be considered. And one of them surely has to be Waref from the Kevin Prendergast stable. Nicely drawn, of course, in the hands of Chrissy Haynes. And he ran a really good race the last time we saw him 45 days ago when he was fourth behind Lustrous Light in a race which has worked out really well. Obviously, Lustrous Light has gone on to continue to run really well in good races. Of course, he contested a Royal Ascot race, and Joe Lyons thinks quite a bit of him. His time figure suggests he's going to be quite difficult to beat here. Even though he's up against Kid Malibu and Schubert, I think there's a big negative attached to Schubert, who doesn't look the most trustworthy of characters. He almost ran through the rail the other day at Leopardstown when he looked like winning. Kid Malibu, he's a nice horse. I think he'll appreciate this surface. He's obviously American bred. And even though he got beat last time out, it still wasn't a bad run. The fourth time to reason has won a couple of times subsequently. So he looks the main danger to the selection there. So the two Hamdaman McToom trained horses are the ones to come to try. But I'll go with the second string, according to the bet, in the shape of Waref.
Race number three.
On to the 3.15 then, which is a mile apprentice contest. Again, another tricky race for punters to get their head round. They're going to bet 4-5-1 the field here. The ones that make the mile most appeal to me here, or certainly the one that stands out here, is Jessamine from the Patrick Flynn stable, filly by Master Craftsman. She's had plenty of excellent and notable efforts here at Dundalk. She finished fifth two starts ago over the course and distance behind Elusive in Paris. And a repeat of that run surely would see her very competitive here in this pretty grisly affair. They were up to a mile and a half on our last run back in May. And although she only finished 7th of the 14 behind Brocopondo, that doesn't really tell the whole story. She was towards the back of the field and she was checked several times when coming with a run down the home straight. So clearly she's got quite a bit more talent than her form figure suggest. And as I said, in a really bad race where quite a few of these don't make any appeal whatsoever, I think Jessamine around about the 8-1 mark is definitely worth more than a second look.
Race 4.
On to the 3.50 then, and this is where my main bet on the card appears. It comes via Mickey Halford's 3-year-old, Yamato, whose form figures don't really tell, again, his true story of how he's been running of late. I thought he ran really creditably up behind a horse called Monarch in Garen back in May. Of course, Monarch now is rated in the 90s. He then finished 8th, only beaten 6 lengths behind Mr. Wright, who's now rated 88. And last time out at Bellystone, even though he was well backed from 4-1 into 11-4, and just finished out the frame, I thought it was a much better run than the figures suggest. He just didn't quite get the clues to run through round the inside, which was the dead rail. He ran into a bit of a blind alley. And I don't think he really handled A, the track, or B, the ground on that occasion. He's by Big Bad Bob, and as many sort of pedigree judges will tell you, a lot of those sire's offspring go really well on a polytrack surface. So I reckon today could well be this horse's day. He's got a great draw. He's not badly handicapped off a mark of 72. There doesn't appear to be too many dangerous floaters in here, so I'd expect Yamato to run a huge race here in the 350.
Race 5.
On to the big race then of the day, which is the 420. What an absolute humdinger this is. 5 furlongs, blinking, you'll miss it kind of thing. All the best sprinters here at this track take part. The likes of Chicklet, Russian Soul, Blood Moon, Go-Kart, Primo Uno. And you chuck into the mix old Togerville and the English Raider Gentleman, and this makes up into a mouth-watering affair. I'd be absolutely amazed if Gentleman is good enough to win here. Albeit he's been in a bit of a revelation, and he's been a all-weather specialist for the last 4 or 5 runs. The only problem is with this horse is that he's very, very slowly away. And you can't afford to do that here at Dundalk. They run very quickly into the first corner, and you need to be on the speed here. I reckon he's going to be a good 7 or 8 lengths behind the front runners here. And I know he's a 6 furlong horse, but I'd just be absolutely amazed if he manages to get back into the race and win. 4-1. Absolutely terrible value for Gentlemen. I think Chicklet will drag the field along at a very, very good tempo. Drawn in trap 5, Tracy Collins' mare is bound to take the field along at a sound pace. And she's very game as well. If she's joined, I remember a couple of starts back when Prima Una looks as though she's going to run over the top of her. She kept on battling and finding plenty for pressure. I'm sure whatever happens, you've got to have Chicklet on your side here at 11-2 this morning. We know how good Tracy Collins is with her all-weather horses, as Captain Joy's proven in the past. Couple to consider at much bigger odds, Blood Moon and Go-Kart. Go-Kart has got an amazing record here. Only been out the frame once in 7 starts, albeit only won once. He's always there or thereabouts. Just could have done with a slightly better draw, this intense focus filly. But I'd like to think she'll go well. And Blood Moon, as I mentioned, much better draw. 2 for 3 at the track. And around about 8-1, you know, you're likely to get a massive run out of him. So my two against the field here would be Chicklet and Blood Moon.
Race number 6.
On to the 455, a mile and a quarter maiden. Not much solid form to go on here. You'd have to suggest that my Fantasio is probably the one to beat off the back of that run back in April. I'm not sure why John Ox's Charge hasn't been out since, but to be fair, a lot of John's horses have been under the weather, so maybe that's got something to do with it. But that was a good run all the same behind Bravery. He was obviously now rated in the 90s and has run some good races in group contests subsequently. I do like the way this horse is keeping on from the back of the field on that occasion. Not a bad run either on debut behind Long Island Sound. All in all, this horse is absolutely crying out for a mile and a quarter upwards, being by Sea of the Stars. So hopefully John Ox's luck can turn with a win here from My Fantasia in the 455.
And the final race.
On to the concluding contest, and quite a strong choice here in the shape of Catchword for me here. I think this horse is particularly well handicapped now returning to the all-weather scene. You've only got to go back to its last run here and find that it was a really commendable 6 behind Poitin in a really strongly run race. A whole host of horses have come out of that race and won't run well subsequently. Obviously, Ancient Sands won a couple of races over hurdles, as has Time for Mabel, who was 4th. So that time figure's really been backed up. And a good run the other day down in Limerick over an adequate trip of a mile behind the improving Johnny Larkin train horse, Total Demolition. The figures really do point to this horse running a massive race here. A mile and a quarter should be absolutely ideal. Well drawn. Top price with William Hill at 7-1. I'd make Catchword a really, really sound each-way investment in the concluding race. Right, over to the Killarney card this evening. Once again, for the second night in succession, we've got a split card, 4 on the flat, 3 on jumps.
Race 1.
starting with the 550 over a mile, which is a maiden race. The main market's movements this morning have centred around Military Hill and Mr. Ormsby, and those two horses contested races at Leopardstown on the 23rd of June. Now, my speed figures suggest that Military Hill is the quicker horse of the two. Certainly ran in the fastest race on that card. It went the way of Midnight Crossing, who's gone on to run well in a group race last night at this track. And Time to Reason, of course, who's second, has won a couple of times and won for us on the podcast on Sunday. So I do think Military Hill's going to run a huge race here. Likely to be much more better off from that run first time out, a race which it looks as though it needed. And as I said, the time figures, the sectionals, are much better than what Mr. Ormsby produced that particular evening. So the odds this morning look a little bit topsy-turvy for me. Mr. Ormsby 7-4, no thank you. I'd much rather back Military Hill each way at 7-2.
Race 2.
On to the second race then, and this looks a straight match between Mr. Wright and General MacArthur. The odds suggest that General MacArthur is the one to beat, and if he runs to the standard he did two starts back, then perhaps he could justify his position in the betting. But I'm a massive fan of this Mr. Wright. What a revelation this horse has been in recent times. He's gone from sort of being a workaday handicapper on the all-weather to a fully-fledged top-class handicapper on the flat, on the turf. Supplemented his win at Nace two starts ago with a very good performance at Leopardstown the other day, proving that he's versatile with regards ground, and also that he stays a mile really well, which was something that I wasn't too sure about prior to that performance the other night. He defied a penalty on that occasion, and I like the way he, because he dug knuckle deep. He's just a horse in a really good place at the moment, Mr. Wright, and the odds this morning, round about 9-4, are certainly value for him to complete the hat-trick.
Race number 3.
On to race 3, which is a mile and a quarter at 3-year-old contest. Quite keen here on Joseph O'Brien's No Biggie, who seems to be on the improve. He won a few starts ago at Navan, and he supplemented that win with a good win at Nace the other day, standing very powerfully in the latter stages. He really did appreciate the cut in the ground and the step up to a mile and a half. So the little bit of ease in the ground that we're going to get here tonight at Killarney, plus the stiff uphill finish over a mile three, should definitely play into his strengths. He could have done with a slightly better draw in trap 13, but hopefully Anna O'Brien can get him into a good position. There's been good money this morning for Super Bowl, who obviously has got to be respected from the Willie Mullins stable. It's not often that you see one of the champion jump trainers' horses on the flat rated 57, so I definitely think that one's worth more than a second look. But for now, I'm going to stick with No Biggie while he's in good form.
Race 4.
On to the 720, which is a mile 6 conditions race. One or two of these have obviously got their eye on the Galway Festival, you'd imagine. Connections of Pyromaniac will have their final preparations for the Galway Hurdle put in check today when that horse comes here off the back of a layoff. And Hidden Cyclone, I'd imagine, would be having this race as a spin for the Galway Plate. So with that in mind, I'm going to take a chance at Afincia. He's good enough to win at the first time of asking. Certainly was last year when we saw it at Ross Common, staying on very impressively in the latter stages to pull well clear of a couple of nice horses in the shape of McNicholson and Hudson Bay. Not sure why this horse has been off the track for the best part of a year, but John Ox's team has seemed to be in a bit better form than they were in the early part of the campaign. Katie Walsh has been booked, so that obviously signals a degree of intent, and he looks a class act in the weight in this Afincia. So he's the choice in the 720.
Race 5.
Now we come on to the really interesting stuff. This 750 is an absolute belter of a handicap. Virtually all the best two and a half mile horses that we've seen out so far in the summer jumping period are set to go to post. You've got Stellar Notion, who is going to be obviously a very popular choice, representing the stable that took this race 12 months ago. Not sure why this horse, however, is only as low as 4-1, considering he hasn't done anything on the speed figures of late. And I much prefer a couple of progressive types. Hurricane Ben is a horse that caught me out the other day in Banning Road, but I was really impressed by the manner of his victory. Interesting that Barry Geraghty, who probably could have had a lot of different choices in this race, has decided to stay a law to this horse. He obviously was very impressed. And even though he's been up a whopping £14 by the handicapper, I still think he's got a major chance of going very well here. Mr. 51 isn't a horse I've got a lot of time for, but he's got a terrible record going left-handed where he's 0-6. He's much better going anti-clockwise. So with that in mind, I'm going to look towards Cavite Beta as the alternative to Hurricane Ben. He's got a fantastic record here. And even though he hasn't run for a couple of years, he ran really well on his reappearance at Wexford the other day when he was fourth behind the Leather Lioness, shaping as though that run would definitely do him good. Prior to that, he'd scored over the course and distance back in 2014. He's got the tongue tie back on, and Jim Draper's very much a man to consider when it's concerned these big pots over in Ireland over fences. So Cavite Beta, I ran about 11-1 this morning, along with Hurricane Ben, the two that I'll be concentrating on there.
Race number 6.
The penultimate race is a pretty difficult one to assess in many ways because we've got two previous Hunter Chasers locking horns here. Got Al Grande from the Maria Richard stable and, of course, Jim Draper's Shake It Up, who've been plying their trading point to points. And, like I say, Hunter Chasers. Not sure how well handicapped they are for Mark 106 and 104 respectively. It wouldn't surprise me if one of them's good enough to win here. But at the prices this morning, I'll be prepared to go with the top weight here from the Patching Cronin stable, give her back. Not much to recommend over fences apart from that spectacularly good run the other day, and this is the effort that I'm hanging my hat on. Finishing third behind Duckweed, I would certainly give it a chance here for Mark of 116. Those two horses are very much on the upgrade, the front two home on that occasion. And I do like the way this horse is keeping on well once it jumped the last and on the running. She really did power home to the finish. I just think she's overpriced here, like I say. I'm not suggesting that she's a handicap good thing or anything of that nature, but she's certainly the value pick in my eyes this morning. So round about 14, 16-1, give her back as the each-way choice there.
And the final race.
And on to the final contest, which similarly to the 750 is an absolute belter. This race would definitely grace a Grade 1 track without a shadow of a doubt. Tiger Roll, Sandy Mount Duke, Valissa Montauk, the Winkler Deans Road, Ballycloud are all very, very good novices for this time of the season. But the one I really like out of that sextet is the favourite Tiger Roll. He obviously was a very good horse over hurdles, winner of the 2014 Triumph Hurdle. And he seems to have got his old swagger back with a couple of wins under his belt since he's been going over the larger obstacles. He was really good in Ballinrobe the first day, jumping soundly and staying on very well. And then they upped him in trip the other day and he got even better. He travelled really well in behind the speed. It was a strongly run event. And I love the way he just powered clear in the latter stages. He beat Vanessa Montauk fairly easily. And with Duckweed the third going on to Frank the fourth subsequently, he was 8 lengths back in third. I've no real reason to suggest that form is anything other but solid, as the time figure suggests. He reminds me of the game changer, that kind of horse, of course, the kind of horse that Gordon Elliott does really well in the summer jumping period. And he should get the race run to suit with Sandy Mount Duke, the likely front runner, sure to set them off at a good tempo. So in what looks an absolute mouth-watering affair to conclude the card, I'd be very, very keen here on Tiger Roll. Thanks very much for listening to the Irish podcast then on Tuesday, July the 12th. I'm Andy Holding signing off. Do join us here tomorrow around about 10 o'clock for the third day of the Killarney Festival, where once again we've got a 7-race card. It's bye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.